in the world of variated forms in which we live, I'm not talking about the outside world, I'm talking about our bodies, in our minds, in our feelings. If we take a good look at our feelings and our thoughts and our minds, we'll see that they're pretty tainted. Or to put it, they're not pure. Like our minds are not the reflections of pure light. And our hearts aren't the reflection of pure love. So, as Krishna says over and over in the Gita, to move toward Krishna, there's work to be done. But Krishna is so loving, because he loves everybody equally and everything equally, which is to say he loves himself, because everything is himself. Even though there's work to be done, the work can be done on by anybody in any way. He says he's pleased if a person places in front of him a leaf or a fruit or a flower. Just that's a start. That you don't have to go off into some ashram and meditate 22 hours a day, you know, to move toward Krishna. Just put a flower in front of some object you consider sacred. You pick the object. Put a flower in front of it with your heart behind it, with Krishna in mind. This is for you. It's all I've got. He says, I accept all such gifts. Yeah. If you're a little more, go get them. Yeah. You want to do a little more than just lay a flower around here and there? Then you could like pick up the Bhagavad Gita and like many Hindus over the centuries have done, and just memorize one stanza. It's apparently very common in India. Memorize one stanza and just repeat it to yourself all the time. Inwardly. And that won't get you to Krishna, but it's a beginning. It's a beginning. If you're a little more into it, you can do what other Hindus have done over the centuries. You can memorize the entire Gita in Sanskrit. No, it's not funny. This has been done for centuries. You can memorize the whole thing in Sanskrit and go around chanting it in Sanskrit. And it said that this can be helpful, but if it's done for selfish purposes, it will actually block the center through which the light has to come to reach the heart. So motive is everything for Krishna. I can't know Krishna if my reasons for wanting to know Krishna is so I can be okay. I mean, that's okay, but it won't get me to Krishna. There are teachers around who talk about Krishna in many different ways these days, and they somehow imply that if you just do a bunch of stuff in the name of Krishna, that somehow that they kind of imply you got a bit of an in, or you got a shortcut going to Krishna. Whereas in fact, if you read the entire Bhagavad Gita just once, you'll quickly come to see there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. And he himself says that without unwavering devotion, I mean, here's how bad it gets for those of us who like to see the downside of things. Here's how bad it gets. To activate the aspect of ourselves, you could say the flame in the heart of every human being, to activate that within oneself, requires nothing less than more or less continual thinking about Krishna, adoration of Krishna, contemplation of Krishna, or any other name you like, continuity of consciousness, not sporadic, but continuity of consciousness in that direction, concentration in that direction. This doesn't mean one isn't performing one's daily duties, because the Bhagavad Gita talks quite a bit about performing one's daily duties. It says you perform them because they're there to be performed. But if you want to move toward Krishna while performing them, perform them for Him and forget the fruits of action. Otherwise known as, do the very best you can with whatever is in front of you to do and then let go. And if you just keep doing that, you'll be moving closer to Krishna. But if you're doing it in order to obtain something, whatever you obtain will provide at best momentary happiness and pleasure. Because in this world, as we all probably already know, there's nothing that provides permanent bliss, pleasure, happiness. It's all transitory. It's said that some people, a lot of our obscurations, a lot of things that hide the Krishna within our heart from our consciousness, these various things we can discover about ourselves is by a little bit of introspection. A lot of these things that are obscurations are like smoke, according to Krishna, are tendencies that we brought over from previous lives. And which is why modern psychology and science, until they can endorse such a position, can never figure out the nature-nurture question. Because babies, newborn babies, aren't little blanks, aren't little blanks on which experience is going to write. You know, there's no such thing as a new little baby. There's such a thing as a new little body. And my teacher went so far as to say to people raising children, please don't treat those as children. And treat them as children, yes, in the sense that they're at a certain age, at a certain stage. But remember, they're as old as you are. They're eternal. They brought a lot in with them. And that's probably what they have to, what they brought in with them is probably what they're going to have to deal with before they can become pure enough to hear the flute of Krishna. It's said that if one could calm, like, nighttime's a good time to do it, maybe not Friday night on Main Street in Ventura, but if one can in the night just go somewhere and get calm, maybe look at the sky so all one's attention isn't ego-centered. Look at the sky, no ego there. Try to kind of melt into it a little bit. You might get a sense of the vastness of Krishna's beatitude. Because from the standpoint of the Gita, the entire universe is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Everything is sacrificing itself for something else. And if you look around in nature, you see it happening all the time. It's all sacrificial. And